Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. Live from Douglas in the Isle of Man, this is The Man in Line. Your chance to have your say by calling 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. As of yesterday, 4 o'clock, 15,323 tests had been taken for COVID on the Isle of Man. 15,310 were concluded. 13 people awaiting a result. 18 people waiting for a test. And as you heard in the news, two important stories. The States of Guernsey said there's been a positive test on Monday evening. An unidentified source has been confirmed in Guernsey. Public health officials working with the infected individual in Guernsey to establish the exact source. Since the 27th of May, all Guernsey's cases have been identified with inbound travellers. And it's unusual to pick up a case of COVID-19 in the bailiwick where the source isn't immediately obvious. The employer associated with the case closed their offices. The infected person of working age isn't in hospital. Guernsey's now had 259 COVID cases, most of them in the first wave of infections. So that's appropriate because obviously with half term, those Guernsey flights will be resuming. And the news you heard on the Isle of Man in that a 20-year-old man's been jailed after visiting McDonald's where he was whilst he was supposed to be self-isolating. 2 days in, apparently he forgot. He was granted an exemption certificate to visit the Isle of Man as a returning resident, arrived in the island on Friday from Birkenhead. 2 days later, met up with two friends at the Villa Marina and then walked across Douglas, went to McDonald's and the petrol station on Peel Road and forgot he was supposed to self-isolate. Well, he's now 6 weeks in Jerby for that. If you have any thoughts on the matter, by all means, get in touch. Text, email or call. A note in that says the news didn't say if the two friends of the latest person had been made to isolate. If this so-and-so develops the virus, it'll be too late to isolate the friends who aided and abetted him, as they will already have potentially spread the virus, says that correspondent as well. Flights start today, by the way. The flight due to arrive in Ronald's Way at 20 to 2 this afternoon. So the flights are back on as of today as well. Regarding the cannabis topic, by the way, most of the developed world, we were talking about cannabis yesterday with the protest, most of the developed world has now or is in the process of introducing cannabis for both medicinal and recreational. Most of the developed world, apparently. Also, the male variant of cannabis, hemp, is highly versatile and biodegradable with scope for helping the environment. We need to move into the 21st century. By legalizing cannabis, we remove the genetically mutated varieties, stop illegal imports, and take away the funds of illicit gangs. How? Do we appeal to organized crime's better nature? And they just say, well, all these hundreds of thousands of pounds we've been making, we'll just give up. We can provide a reasonably priced, safe and enjoyable form with the proceeds going back into our struggling economy. The cost of locking users up can't be justified, or is it cost-effective? Far more serious issues to tackle. Look at the online crimes, for example, and alcohol is also a psychoactive. Yep, all accepted. But nobody's yet answered. I have a simple question. How can you convince organised crime to get out of the drugs market? Do you really think you can persuade organised criminals to give up the cannabis trade? Text, email or call by all means. And if you've got an absolute winning argument as to how you do that, I'd absolutely love to hear you. And I'm no doubt the police would love to hear that as well. How you get organized crime out of cannabis, aside of just asking them as well. Text, email, call, whatever. We need to lock up the people who are lying when they if they say they're self-isolating. Lots of people commenting on this. There have been calls, by the way. Let's go back to this cannabis debate, because it's something that it's often comes up. And of course, there are, if you like, three bits to this. There's the hemp industry, and we're trying to find out whether or not the Isle of Man's hemp harvest or hemp harvest will be planted next March. We're trying to find Bobby Comish. Just to see whether or not it's going to happen. There's medicinal cannabis, then there's recreational cannabis. So let's go to it. There have been calls to speed up the rollout of regulated medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man. Yesterday, a group of protesters were calling for progress on the issue after a consultation on the medicinal use of cannabis was held last year. More than half of the 3,000 respondents supported the change. Ewan Gawn looks into medicinal cannabis.
A Douglas man has been ordered to do 120 hours of unpaid work after he was caught ordering cannabis through the post.
A man from Douglas who hid cannabis near his genitals has been ordered to do community service.
A man's appeared in court over an allegation he grew cannabis in his council flat.
Headlines from court stories on the island in recent weeks there, and there are many more like those. Cannabis is the most popular controlled substance on the island. At least that's according to the Chief Constable Gary Roberts in his annual report. Proposals for the regulation of the drug for medicinal purposes were due to appear in Tynwald this month, but haven't yet. Government have been asked for an update. A group protested outside the Tynwald buildings yesterday to call for progress on the issue. Cannabis of Man wants Manx laws to mirror those of the Channel Islands, where the drug can be prescribed for medical reasons. These protesters spoke to Rhiann Evans.
I've got friends who suffer with illnesses. It gives them pain relief and it helps them. And we can change it. It is legal in a lot of countries. You know, the domino effect is happening and it just feels like it's time.
We're 19 months today since the consultation shut, and we got 99.2% of people who voted, which was 4,000, which is 12 times the amount of people who voted for Howard Quayle are in favour. So it's about time really now that, you know, they do start pushing it. And I know some of them in the building there are, so it's the ones who aren't who need to start earning their wages.
And you just gave a tip of your head to the building. There are obviously politicians sitting today. Are you hoping to speak to any of them?
We have spoke to one this morning.
Ashford.
Yeah, he's pro cannabis. So.
And that's a lot coming from the health minister.
It is. So I just think people need to know more about it. There's still a stigma attached to it. If drink is legal at the end of the day, there's no harm in self-medicating with a herb that is not dangerous at all to anyone. It has a lot of benefits, not just medical. There's also the hemp side, economy, materials, low emission, carbon emissions. There's so many good things to be done with it.
That's time with legislation and policing. If I was to get caught with diazepam in my pocket, I'd get more time and more fine than I would with cannabis, despite diazepam is addictive, is damaging, and the evidence is there. There's no evidence to support it the same way in cannabis. So if nothing else, the criminal element of it needs re-looking at in a way that's it fits with the crime, for want of a better term.
Why do you think it has such harsh sentences?
Because it's popular, so you have to give enough. Or I would imagine that the police is on the law side of things is that the more popular it gets, the harder you have to stamp on it.
Protesters from Cannabis of Man. Well, as we heard, it's the most popular controlled substance on the island. According to the police, Chief Constable Gary Roberts has touched on the issue in his annual report. I asked him if cannabis was decriminalised, how much police time would that free up?
Really difficult to say, and it's important to differentiate between hemp and medicinal cannabis and cannabis that comes in illegally. They're different substances, so it's really, really important. So I'll do whatever I can to support the government's decisions around that business area because I see the benefits, and my contribution to that debate is around offering an opinion on making sure that the laws are right, offering an opinion on how security should be managed, but then that's it. Mm. What's important to state, though, is the people who deal cocaine also deal cannabis. So a lot of the people, and these people in Liverpool I'm talking about, they don't differentiate. They're not just dealing cannabis, and they're more virtuous than other drug dealers. They deal all manner of dangerous drugs.
If cannabis was decriminalised, as you've mentioned, criminals will always find different avenues. Would that make it, though, at face value and initially easier to police the island when it comes to drugs?
If you decriminalised or legalised all drugs and then made it a legal market which was taxed, that would completely change how we police things. It would fundamentally change things. And, you know, I see the pros and cons of that completely, but I'm not going to offer an opinion on it.
When we tend to think of drug users on the Isle of Man, I think there is perhaps, maybe it's a lazy perception, that it is people from disadvantaged backgrounds. To the police's knowledge, how widespread is the consumption and the use? Is it indiscriminate?
I believe it's fairly indiscriminate. We have intelligence about widespread use of cocaine in the nighttime economy, and we do things about that whenever we can. What we don't have on the island is acquisitive crime that funds drugs. So we don't have people getting robbed in the street. We don't have burglaries in people's houses at night where cash is taken. So that tends to indicate that the use of drugs involves people who have finance, people who have wages, people who have an income. So I say it's a problem. Lots of people will say it's a problem. People need to look at themselves if they're using it because they're part of the problem.
Chief Constable Gary Roberts. You can read his report and hear more from the protesters via the Manx Radio website.
That's manxradio.com. I wonder what your thoughts are with what Gary Roberts had to say, and also the thoughts of the people, cannabis and man people, who were demonstrating yesterday outside Tynwald. Lots of politicians have passed opinions in the past about medicinal cannabis. Let's see. Kieran's with us. Good afternoon, Kieran. You were there yesterday, weren't you?
I was indeed, yeah. Yeah, it was a relatively good success. We had a lot of good impact on it, I think.
What are you hoping for, Kieran?
Me, personally, I'm hoping for decriminalisation and some legislation for where imports and exports from for medicinal users. But obviously, it's not just me. I'm not... no man is an island. So, yeah... I'm hoping for at least the option to be able to medicate myself. but that's not actually what I called up to speak to you about today. I want to speak to you about specifically the law, because we keep getting this rhetoric all the time, which is, well, it's the law. So looking at Manx law, the first page of the Misuse of Drugs Act, page 1, note 1, is that every year the ACMD, which is a council for the misuse of drugs, are legally required to meet once a year and report. Now, that report's not been done since 2014. On the Isle of Man, we have twice the suicide rate and twice the death rate to do with drugs as we do in the northwest of England. We're currently going through all these arguments about cannabis and everything else, and we don't have a council doing the legal requirement of what they're paid to do, or supposed to be paid to do, every year. So we're expected to follow the law. The police are expected to follow the law. The actual politicians making the law aren't. So it seems a bit of a crazy thing to me that we're at this point of all these things happening, and we don't actually have an advisory council meeting, which they're legally required to do every year.
Do you think that if the use of medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man is allowed, that will inevitably lead to the legalisation of recreational cannabis?
I think so. The world is opening up to it. You know, we've come to a world of a time of information. Israel are studying it massively. America are studying it massively. You know, we know that we've been lied to for a long time now, and there's only so much time that people can see huge wads of money going past them and not grab at it, which I think is realistically what's going to happen. You mentioned yesterday it's the devil we know with alcohol, and it is the devil we know. That had a prohibition and it failed, which is, you know, where we are again now.
So if recreational cannabis is allowed, who's going to sell it? Who's going to regulate it? Where's it going to be sourced from, do you think?
Well, that's to be known in the law. I know, having spoken to Ashford and a few people, that the legislation that they're hoping to do is to have cultivation on island so we can import and export. But it's like everything, it's a silly thing to only assume that we could use Manx-made products. It's a worldwide market, medicine and recreational. It would be like saying that we could only drink Uncle's beer. So I think realistically we should be able to source it. In Britain, or England being the biggest exporter of medicinal cannabis in the world, it seems silly. You know, California have gone big jumps on it and everything else. I'd imagine that it would be imported and exported from the worldwide. And where it is sold is anywhere that would get a relevant license, like your alcohol licenses.
Kieran, do you think that organised crime would back out of the market if it became legal?
the cannabis market or the drugs market?
The recreational cannabis market.
Well, it'd be very hard to compete. If you've got a warehouse with 5 million plants in it, you can produce it for less than little Johnny in his basement, you know? I think chances are, you know, I can make wine in my house now, but I'm not flogging it. I can grow tobacco in my garden now, but I don't buy it. I don't. If you want to remove a black market, take the black market away.
Okay. How much of a chance do you think the legalization of medicinal cannabis has got, Kieran, on the Isle of Man?
10,000%.
You reckon it's just a matter of when, not if?
Oh, yeah. Categorically, yes.
All right, Kieran, thanks for being with us today. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, now here's Bob on the Manly line. Afternoon, Bob.
How you doing? It's Bob Comish here from the Manx Hemp Campaign.
Are you going to start planting soon?
Well, all being well, we're hoping to get seeds in the ground next spring, all being well. We have got, now what I can say is with the hemp and stuff, we have got it through Timwald and also the medicinal cannabis. It has gone through. I've been working closely with these guys now for nearly 3.5 years on this, and things have gone through, and we are hoping, so all be, like I say, all being well, we're going to get hemp, at least test crops next year sown down, so we can do some tests over here with it.
Okay, and what will be the purpose of that crop? What will it be used for, Bob?
Well, firstly, what we're doing, we're looking at, basically, we're setting up some different licensing frameworks at the moment. So we're going to have licensing framework for medicinal cannabis. There'll be a licensing framework for CBD, for hemp for CBD. And then we'll also have for the industrial hemp, which will be for the building industry, for the oils, cooking oils, bio oils, all the different things you can make out of hemp.
Building industry, that's hempcrete, isn't it?
Hempcrete, you can make hemp boards, you know, insulation, really good for insulation, fire resistant, it's got all the good properties, it's even quite rodent resistant, and at the end of the day, it's biodegradable.
Okay, so, and is this going to be in Ballabeg?
This is the plan, but not just Ballabeg. At the moment, I've got 6 farms throughout the Isle of Man that are willing to test crop with me, so we can do variant from north to south, from west to east. So we can do different tests to see how the different, you know, areas and different soils, how it grows. But how we want to grow it is completely 100% organic.
How will you know whether it's working? When will you know whether it's working or not?
Well, basically, we're looking at if we put a crop in for next April, we will have some good firm answers by the end of June on how the crops are going.
Okay, Bob, is there a business in this?
There's a massive business in it, and I think the way the world's going now, we have to look at going greener. And if people do research, one thing I say about hemp is we need education. We need it because people think it's cannabis. Oh, you're going to get high. Now, hearing on the radio just before you, then he's right on the money as well with the medicinal cannabis. Obviously, I'm working on that as well. But you know. With the hemp and stuff like the business, we have to start going greener. We have to. And what hemp can do for the benefits of going green, I mean, it removes carbon. It does everything you'd want it to do. It produces nitrogen back into the ground. I mean, I could speak for hours about what it does. Like, it's absolutely incredible plant. And one thing I will say, I'm still shocked that I've had to battle for nearly 3 years just to get a license to grow hemp.
So, just let us know then, are you definitely going to plant it or are you waiting for the go-ahead?
I'm still waiting for the go-ahead. We're hoping I'm going to get that in December by the latest because we need to start planning. If we're going to be planting in sort of like end of March, beginning of April, we need to have some conformity set up by the end of December, really, so we can start planning to get the seed in, working the ground and working ahead that way.
All right. Thanks for being with us today, Bob. Keep us in touch, would you?
I definitely will do, yeah. Please keep in touch.
All right, thanks for that. 26 minutes past 12. The Manx hemp industry. So let's get this straight in our mind. Hemp, medicinal cannabis, recreational cannabis. I would sincerely like your opinion now, by the way. We're going to have a completely, entirely random, non-representative straw poll on the Isle of Man. and this concerns medicinal cannabis. I'd like your opinion, just one simple question now. Medicinal cannabis, yes. Medicinal cannabis, no. And the question is, would you like medicinal cannabis to be legalised on the Isle of Man and freely available? So the answer is text or email only. Text medicinal cannabis, yes, or medicinal cannabis, no. Or if you want to put med cannabis, whatever you want to do, put your name on there as well, and yes or no. Medicinal cannabis, yes. Medicinal cannabis, no. This is a straw poll. It won't be representative, but I'd really like to hear your opinion between now and 1 o'clock. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Medicinal cannabis, yes, or medicinal cannabis, no. And the latest on the lamppost and King Edward Road. Oh, wow. Manx Radio.
Admiring our new purchase, Dewan.
Very impressive, missus. Good looking, stylish, sleek lines, easy maintenance, and very practical.
Geoffrey's impressed too.
Look, he's out there now. I've never seen anyone get so enthusiastic over a lawnmower.
Dewan, I'm talking about these new style flush sash windows from Spectrum with more glazing and a much better view.
Well, put the kettle on and let's watch Geoffrey mow the lawn.
For the latest window innovations, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
You wouldn't throw your money down the drain, so why pay over the odds for your car and van insurance? Blackford & Company's car and van insurance is designed for Isle of Man residents, with local service and internet prices. Blackford & Company believe this is their best car and van insurance yet. So if you're aged between 21 and 80, call today on 832 042 or go to manxcover.com. Don't delay, call Blackford's today. Why pay more when you can pay less? Blackford & Company are registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Keeping busy on the farm?
Absolutely. We've a visit from Milan Vets today. They're doing some fertility testing on the herd.
Oh, we use Milan Vets too for all our disease testing and emergencies. They're so professional, and their herd and flock health plans give us real peace of mind.
Oh yes, we wouldn't be without our trusted vets, and they're available for emergencies 24/7.
For animals, large or small, visit milanvets.co.uk.
Everything in the garden's rosy. Rover the dog's happy. They're happy. And him? Well, he's loving our new automatic gates from the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company. He's enjoying using them so much, he's doing all the shopping. So I'm happy too.
For stylish automatic gates, barriers, shutters and doors, call the Garage Door and Gate Automation Company on 624 122 or visit manxgaragedoors.com.
And guess what, Rover? The automated garage doors just arrived.
On Thursday evening at 6, you can join Fiona McArdle for the last in the present series of Shachley.
I was so angry about this, I had to be restrained in my seat.
Yes, it has that effect on people. So what are we going to be looking at this Thursday?
The Great Whore of Babylon, in inverted commas, because she wasn't, but she was called that.
And you can find out more by joining Fiona McArdle on Thursday evening at 6 in Shachley.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
Spot on, 12:30 on the man in line today. It's all about moderation, says our correspondent. Don't smoke too much, don't drink too much, and let adults make their own decisions. We're doing a straw poll on the man in line today regarding medicinal cannabis. I'd like your views, or your vote certainly. Text 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Medicinal cannabis or med cannabis, yes, or med cannabis, no. Put your name on there as well, and we'll see what the percentages come out by the end of the show today. Regarding coronavirus, we do need a rapid response team to take down the infected if they go walkabout as well. If people are going to be doing this, we have to take some steps on it as well. Did the bootleggers still run alcohol, or did they stop when laws changed and the profits went to the public purse? Says Terry, in America, of course, they did have the prohibition era in America. And, of course, organized crime took over and the alcohol was made that way and shipped around America. And it didn't really work. I don't know what your views are, but I'd like to hear your view. Certainly, let's go on medicinal cannabis for the moment. Lots of people get very real, tangible relief by using medicinal cannabis products for various conditions, certainly in pain relief as well. And also, lots of people, of course, and I don't want to conflate recreational cannabis with medicinal cannabis, and sometimes it's very difficult to do that. However, some notes in who do conflate it regarding cannabis. Have you seen the living conditions of the average pothead? Their houses tell you all you need to know about society smoking dope would look. It's pitiful, slovenly, and shameful. All this illness is lying to get around the law, says that correspondent as well. If the government had a well-regulated system similar to that that's in place in places like Las Vegas, it would stop people having to deal with gangs in recreational cannabis, obviously. And as Gary Roberts said, there's no such thing, or in his view, as a virtuous drug dealer. So if it were taken out of the hands of organised crime, what would you do? And he made a very important point about acquisitive crime for drugs on the Isle of Man. Constantly, look in the UK or most places in the Western world, people regularly get burgled, people get hit over the head for £10 to fund a drug habit. On the Isle of Man, thankfully, we get precious little of drug-related crime. It's one of the byproducts of having an affluent island. If people do want illegal drugs, they can normally afford them. Why does the Isle of Man not follow the legislation and guidelines used in places like Canada as well for THC and CBD use and hemp products? Well, that's down to Timwald. Timwald would have to legislate on this. And, of course, the whole continuum of this includes things like hemp. And Bobby Comish has been on many times saying there's an industry ready to go, as you heard him talk about. Several farms on the Isle of Man want to plant a hemp crop next April, we'll say. So text, email or call. Regarding the cannabis issue, the Spanish modelling seems to work, says Sue. You can only buy small amounts from a dispensary for personal use. Oil and vapes seem to be popular in Canada. I've used cannabis medically and recreationally for years without any issues, but I do struggle with alcohol. It gets me into trouble. Everybody talks about alcohol. And again, conflating the use of alcohol with the use of cannabis. I don't know whether you think that you can actually put those two together. Alcohol has been sold, it's been regulated, and obviously some people do have issues with alcohol, but many, many people use alcohol very responsibly for social purposes and get a great deal of enjoyment out of it as well. There's an entire industry in it, of course. You could take it out of the hands of the gangsters by making it legal. If the government legalised cannabis, sell it and profit from it, and make it so that it was a good quality or a reasonable price, it would take the illegality away from it. The gangs would move on to another drug, so it wouldn't be worth the risk. Where the gangs could still exist is if they undercut the government's price and make it better. Government will just have to get greedy as far as their price is concerned. By the way, Brian dropped a note just to say, I think the complaints about road paint may have paid off. I just saw them lime painting through Foxdale as well. Lots of people asking about the promenade lighting column, by the way. Douglas Council said that lighting column in the middle of the narrow pavement on the prom will be replaced. The pole, which was stuck up on King Edward Road, sparked a number of complaints after images surfaced on social media. A statement issued by Douglas Council says it was an error on the part of the Department of Infrastructure and their groundworks contractor. Councillor John Skinner says it's going to be replaced and it won't cost the ratepayer anything.
I saw it on a Facebook page and I immediately emailed the Director of Environmental Services and the council leader. Now, obviously, that was Sunday afternoon, so nothing could be done until Monday. And first thing on Monday morning, I received a reply from the Director of Environmental Services, who had got onto it straight away and said that it was an issue with the contractor and it would council officials were investigating and gone to see what was going on.
Do we know whose remit this falls under? Is this the Department of Infrastructure or is this Douglas Borough Council?
Well, Douglas Borough Council are responsible for the street lighting within the town. But I understand that this is being done as part of Promenade Scheme. And the contractor will be putting the matter right. As a matter of course, when I'm not sure, hopefully, because of access, it will be done sooner rather than later. And it will be put back at the contractor's expense with no expense whatsoever incurred by the ratepayers.
How astonishing is it to you that this was installed right in the middle of a pavement without anybody questioning it?
I'm amazed. I don't know how it's happened. The original light is there on the edge of the pavement. I think one of the problems was that they originally would have liked the lights to go to the back of the pavement, similar to those further up the road, which are actually in the domain of Onchan. But because of the rock seam at the back of the pavement, it was a practical impossibility. But I'm amazed that the line of the current light wasn't followed.
Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker, MHK, is the man in charge. And we asked him who's responsible for the lampposts in the middle of the pavement. Tim Baker.
I presume, Tim, you're referring to the lamppost at the far end of the promenade towards the Derby Castle end, which, of course, is a Douglas Borough Council scheme.
They're saying it's a contractor issue. It's nothing to do with the council. But surely someone has to have oversight over a harebrained scheme like that to put in the middle of a pavement?
Well, you say harebrained scheme. I suspect, and I don't know because it's Douglas Corporation's scheme and it's their contractor, I suspect that there's just been error made on site, whether that's by the contractor or whether it's by whoever's supervising the installation, not clearly enough specifying where the lamp standard was to go. But, I mean, really, you need to talk to Douglas on that. It's not really for me to criticise other people's work and... that's a matter between Douglas and their contractor.
But you'd have thought somebody would have spotted it at some point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable statement, Tim. I mean, clearly, you look at it when it's in situ and it's right in the middle of the pavement. It was highlighted to me yesterday and I asked the questions and received the assurances that it wasn't our part of the scheme, although it has obviously been done in tandem with the prom scheme. And, of course, the public general assumption is that the prom scheme is a DOI scheme, so... there's a natural, you know, association of have DOI made an error here. I mean, clearly something's gone wrong somewhere. It looks very obvious now. It perhaps wasn't so obvious when the person was digging the hole and putting the thing in place, but you would have hoped that something like this would have been spotted before it occurred.
That's the situation then. 21 minutes to one. Here's Brian with us. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hello, and how are you today?
Oh, very happy today. Very happy indeed.
Well, just on the point of the streetlights, I walked down because it was my want to take my personal drug at the Terminus Tavern on Sunday night, and there are more than one lamppost that are in questionable positions. Of course, this particular one isn't a department one, so, well, they've made plenty of their own, and they're dragging their heels, and lots of unfortunate incidents have happened. Now, coming to the Landlords Association, you know, they're wanting to penalise us for all our errors and faux pas, which we will discuss at the meeting this evening at 7:30 at the Old Friends Hall. But they don't seem to be penalising themselves for anything.
Interesting, isn't it, as well? And lots of people have been saying, obviously, the regulations that will apply to private landlords won't apply into public sector housing as well.
That's right, but there's another twist come up. It only come to me yesterday. There are a number of holiday accommodations which come under the tourist board, but because there aren't any holiday makers to speak of in the winter, these will be sucked into this legislation as well. So a lot of people are starting to indicate that they don't want the hassle and aggravation. They may just retain them for holiday lets and not bother letting out during the winter months because the clean-up and redecoration process makes it unviable anyway.
Oh, interesting.
So, yes, there's that aspect to it. But another issue you've been talking about is the drugs one. Now, that's a real thorny one for me. I don't know which way to turn on it because I haven't done the proper research and eked out the professional background information on it.
It's always useful, though, Brian, to have a gut reaction. So what's your gut reaction to it?
Well, I can give you facts and dates on this. We had somebody in one of our flats who was obviously dealing hard drugs. We had somebody who overdosed and was taken to hospital in a comatose condition found in the rear yard to the flats. And when the police arrived, they told us we would have to evict them. They haven't got the resources to do anything about it. Now, that led to a complaint on our behalf, and by that time we'd thrown the individuals out, and they said they were going to tighten up things. But how do we arrive at that situation? Hard drugs have to come to our little rock in the middle of the Irish Sea. If we can't control what comes to our rock, how are the police supposed to control what comes into Liverpool, Manchester or Birmingham? We really need to research this and come up with some answers. Legalization of cannabis? Well, surely, if there was a market for medical cannabis, they would have it in a state or form that wasn't attractive to the people who wish to abuse the drug. Now, there's the question of whether it's a gateway drug or not, but it certainly does change the persona of the individual. They have a tendency, or some individuals have a tendency to move towards paranoia with protracted use of cannabis. So, yeah, I think government is letting us down on another front. It's no use just trying to sweep it under the carpet. It is an issue, and it has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed in a clinical way, and we have to do it very, very quickly.
Mm. Just give your meeting a little plug tonight, would you, Brian?
Yes, we've got a meeting at the Old Friends Association at the end of Finch Road. I've had terrific response just this last few days. It's amazed me how many people are unaware of the legislation that's going to come stoving through the House very shortly that they have been totally unaware of, and it's going to potentially affect them dramatically. So we need as many people as possible to attend this evening, and then we can explain the implications of it.
Okay.
Certainly, my meetings with the minister and the officers, they have prepared this legislation a little bit like copy and paste in many cases, and bear in mind that it's been rejected in Jersey and been abolished in Liverpool. They are trying to push this through, but I don't really think they understand the market that they're trying to legislate for.
Okay. What time's the meeting tonight?
7:30.
Okay. All right, Brian, thanks for being with us today. Good to hear from you as always. 1:16. I want your vote now on medicinal cannabis. Completely unrepresentative straw poll, but I'd like to know the way the wind is blowing on the man in line today. Medicinal cannabis or med cannabis, yes or med cannabis, no, representing your views on the legalization and availability of medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Med cannabis, yes, or med cannabis, no. Put your name on the text or email as well. A note in from Dorm, who said, I would never, ever, ever class myself as somebody who would ever use drugs, but I had Crohn's disease and have Crohn's disease. I've had it for years. I was taking steroids. I was taking pills to calm me down at night and wake me up in the morning. I was like the living dead until 2 years ago, I started using medicinal cannabis. And I've never known life like it. And I would never have thought that I would be using medicinal cannabis. Now, I don't think I could live without it. Well, who knows where this is going to end? Any thoughts on the matter? Text, email or call The Man in Life.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetters, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
Riley's Garden Centre invites you to their Christmas preview evening tonight. Full of festive ideas, including decorations, tableware, themed displays and trees. Don't miss that Christmas preview evening at Riley's Garden Centre. Don't just buy local, buy personal.
Hello there, yes, it's Bernie Quayle here. No, I'm not coming back to Manx Radio because I'm too busy getting spoiled up here in Ramsey at Croven Court Residential Home. And I understand you could get spoiled too. As I've heard, there are a few places still available. Join me in getting spoiled with fabulous food, beautiful rooms, super friendly staff and excellent care.
Just call 610 121 to arrange a visit.
Investing in life pays off. You invest in your health and education. You invest in your relationships and happiness. You invest in family and friends. But when did you last invest in your wealth?
For over 70 years, Ramsey Crookall has been the island's trusted investment specialist, offering a wide range of managed services to make your money work harder. Invest some time in your wealth with Ramsey Crookall. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio. Subscribe for free to a wide range of podcasts produced on the Isle of Man at manxradio.com. Apple, Google or Spotify.
Still taking your votes. Medicinal cannabis, yes or medicinal cannabis, no? I do know this is a blunt instrument, but I'd love to know the way the wind is blowing with this campaign. And I'm trusting you to keep everything compartmentalized. Hemp, medicinal cannabis and recreational cannabis. We're purely talking about medicinal cannabis and the products that are available in many parts of the world. And lots of people do feel the benefit. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you about something called Extraordinary Islanders, a new way to celebrate those who've gone above and beyond during the pandemic. The good people at Isle of Man Advertising are looking for nominations as part of Extraordinary Islanders. The MD at Isle of Man Advertising, Helen Summerscales, and the intern Isabella Grant. Tell us more about Extraordinary Islanders.
We are where we are due to the efforts, care, love and devotion of some amazing individuals, groups and clubs and businesses on the island. And it's time to recognise them. It's not just a pat on the back, although everybody loves that, and I'm not in any way saying that's not well received. But what we want to do with this is actually make it benefit the award winners, the people who are nominated, and also local businesses on the island, because people will win prizes. And aspirational prizes at that.
Could you tell me a little bit about the categories?
So we have Teen Spirit and Wellbeing, which is red. We also have the Young Citizen Award, which is orange. Charitable Endeavours, which is our yellow award. And we also have Caring for the Vulnerable, which is mainly, you know, our carers, NHS workers, people like that, which is green. Innovation and Technology, which is blue. Overcoming Adversity, which is our indigo award. And Outstanding Contribution to the Community, which is violet.
You mentioned prizes before. Can you give me a few examples of what those prizes might be?
All the prizes are going to be sourced on the island, and that means that we will be able to offer as a prize a meal out for a year once a month. So we'll contact 12 restaurants on the island, all over the island, and say, can we buy vouchers for this prize, please? We're not asking them to give it for free. They've had it tough enough already this year. We're saying we'd like to buy these vouchers, please. So we're reinvesting our sponsorship money beckon to the island.
That was Helen and Isabella from Isle of Man Advertising talking about extraordinary islanders, and we wish them well in that as well. A note in says, Andy, has the Chief Constable looked into the Canadian model? Enough time has passed since they legalise it to assess any fallout. The only problem they have in Canada is low-level unlicensed growers avoiding the tax there as well. Making cannabis legal with the backing of the government would get rid of cannabis dealers. The government would have the ability to grow cannabis in massive amounts, undercut the dealers, and still earn a massive profit. So hire the growers, undercut the dealers, and free up prison cells, says that correspondent as well. We should talk about how to resurrect some form of tourism once the COVID crisis is over. Many years ago, Centre Parks was interested in building a resort on the Isle of Man. Sadly, the naysayers put a stop to it, but imagine if they had. It would bring new jobs and a steady stream of income and visitors. We should reapproach Centre Parks and see if they're still interested, says Dee. Well, I don't know whether you spotted, but that large portion of land in the north of the Isle of Man, Glentruan, is for sale, because there was a hope there that that would become some form of a visitors park, accommodation park, but that, of course, was cancelled out at the planning stage, and the people there are selling up, really, selling the land, and that's going. And the case of a holiday camp or holiday centre on the island goes back to, I don't know whether you remember, but before Mount Murray was built, pontins wanted, well, I think they almost had permission to build a pontins, but of course that came and went, and Mount Murray is now a hotel and a housing estate as well. Whether or not we should approach Centre Parks, or whether or not Centre Parks will be interested, we don't quite know. We're still totting up the votes, by the way, on medicinal cannabis yes or medicinal cannabis no. If you'd like to get a vote in, do it really quickly. Medicinal cannabis yes or medicinal cannabis no. We're not talking about recreational or hemp or anything like that. This is purely medicinal cannabis products. Our islanders need an economic boost alternative and help for the many sick people who need treatment. We need to cut out Big Pharma. They cost the NHS a fortune. Well, cutting out Big Pharma will be like pushing water uphill. Big Pharma's been around for 70 years now, ever since National Health Services were established. I don't know how you get rid of Big Pharma. I'd love to hear how you would as well. No to cannabis, says S. I've seen first-hand damage that cannabis causes. Some people have started with cannabis at the age of 11. And by the age of 18, it's harder drugs, as the cannabis hit wasn't strong enough. Don't allow this to become law. Drugs ruin lives, says S. The Minister of Education, Dr. Allenson, has agreed to do a joint interview to publicise the review of special education needs on the Isle of Man. This is Julia, apparently. Well, we'll find out more about that, Julia, from the Education Minister. The pharmacy can regulate it by prescription and give advice to patients regarding medicinal cannabis. And again, practicalities. I love practicalities. If you could tell me where you think it will be sold, that'd be great. Gary Roberts is there to apply the law, says Chris. I think civil servants are too powerful and are abusing their powers. Any decisions that affect us, we should have a say. Look at the proposed speed limits. I think cannabis is big money to the legal profession. They won't let it go. Well, there's 10 different strands to that, correspondent Chris. I mean, the chief constable will always have a view. He's there to have a view. But, of course, the chief constable is the representative of the Isle of Man Constabulary. They're there to apply the law, as you say. But, I mean, police do, and they know all about drugs. They have to deal with the fallout from drug use all the time. Right, we'll be with you very shortly. The result of our straw poll today, and I asked you, medicinal cannabis yes or medicinal cannabis no? We asked you to text in, and we got the result. And the result is medicinal cannabis, no, 6%. Medicinal cannabis, yes, 94%. Now, I didn't think it will be that steep, but that's an entirely unrepresentative straw poll. I don't want you to draw any conclusions from that, apart from your own conclusion. But the straw poll we've had today on The Man in Line says medicinal cannabis, yes, 94%. Medicinal cannabis, no, 6%. Now, we're not advocating recreational cannabis or anything other than medicinal cannabis use. But that's the view of the Man in Line audience today on the Isle of Man. Talk about it more, by the way, tomorrow. Man in Line's back tomorrow between 12 and 1. And a fortnight tomorrow, we're going to be live at Castle Russian High School. And 3 weeks after that, we'll be live at St. Ninian's with the students. Interesting. It's always interesting as well. You may have heard in the past we've asked students about cannabis and drugs in general, and no doubt we'll talk about it then. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today. Man in Line is back tomorrow.